The Bible says that we're to be fishers of men. And that's what came to my mind this morning when I thought about the kids coming up and the fish fry last night and the fact that we are talking about the beautiful river of life, and the message today is going to involve a little fishing. You don't think about that in the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament, as you're going to see, there's going to be fish in this beautiful river of life. And it's an amazing thing. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, find the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 47 is where we have been. And today we'll end this series that we've been in for the last three Sundays. This is the fourth Sunday that we've been in this series entitled The Beautiful River of Life. And it is a beautiful river. Chapter 47, beginning at verse 8. We'll read through verse 12. Then said he unto me, "These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that fishermen shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes, therefore, shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt." And that's an interesting verse. "And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. Because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we ask you to speak to us through this portion of your holy word, and may your name be praised forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, just as a quick reminder, last week we talked about these waters from the beautiful river of life. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see that beautiful river of life. Thanks be unto God, spiritually we can see it through our salvation, because it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the heart mender. He's not a great pretender. He's a heart mender. He gives you salvation. He did what it was needed to be done in order for us to have it. But here in the book of Ezekiel, we read about this beautiful river of life, and the water from the beautiful river of life will transform, listen to this, the ugliest, the driest, the deadest, the most barren land, and according to the scriptures, the most salty sea known to man. And it transforms it into something totally different. And that's exactly what Jesus does when he comes into your life. He transforms you into something totally different. Amen? In these verses, Ezekiel sees this beautiful river of life, and it's flowing out from the eastern gate, straight out of the altar, under the eastern gate, down into the valley, and it flows toward this sea that we're talking about today, that is better known as the Dead Sea. Everybody knows about the Dead Sea, right? Now, I've never been to the Dead Sea. Has anyone here ever been to the Dead Sea? No one's been to the Dead Sea. Does anybody ever want to go to the Dead Sea? I'd like to go to the Dead Sea. Absolutely. Now, there was just three hands that came up when I asked if you wanted to go to the Dead Sea. 4, 5, 6. I haven't been there, but I'm going there someday. Amen? Because someday we're going to be with Jesus in His kingdom. And when we go to be with Jesus in His kingdom on earth, when He is ruling and reigning for 1,000 years from Mount Zion, if you're in Christ this morning, friend, you're going to be there with Him. And you're going to see some things that are going to be absolutely wonderful and magnificent. I haven't been there yet, though, but I've seen pictures. Everybody's seen pictures of the Dead Sea. And I've seen pictures of people floating around out in the Dead Sea. Has anybody ever seen that? I guess they're tourists. But there's a place on the banks of the Dead Sea that tourists flock, and they go out and they float on the Dead Sea. They're out there swimming. Now listen to this, swimming in the Dead Sea. So if they're swimming in the Dead Sea, that means that they're swimming in a putrefied, stinking water. And that's what it is. It's putrefied and it's stinking. Well, why is that? That is, it's 10 times saltier than the ocean, than any ocean around the globe. The Dead Sea, when you go down 130 feet into the depths of the Dead Sea. By the way, I didn't know exactly how deep the Dead Sea was, because in the last few years, I've heard a lot of reports that the waters are evaporating from the Dead Sea, that the water level has gone down. But there's still plenty of depth in the Dead Sea. There's somewhere around 700 feet deep. The Dead Sea is 10 times saltier than any ocean on the earth, 130 feet down. And that's pretty salty, because the ocean's salty. But that's nothing. If you go below that depth down to 300 feet, it's 20 times saltier than any of the oceans on the globe. And so, no wonder the Hebrews call the Dead Sea Yom HaMaved, which literally means killer ocean or killer sea. Instant death is exactly what would happen to any fish that may stray out of one of the freshwater streams, the main one being the Jordan River. It would be instantly dead if it hit the waters of the Dead Sea. Life simply doesn't exist in the Dead Sea, but it does have two forms of life in it. Did you know that? Two kinds of life exist in the Dead Sea. The first one is a bacteria that's known. In fact, there's two kinds of bacteria that live in the Dead Sea. Secondly, algae. There's a special kind of algae that'll grow and only grow in that kind of salty water. And so there's two bacterium that exist in the Dead Sea, and there's this algae that exists there in the Dead Sea. All I can say is one word: nasty. It's just nasty. Now, who wants to go with me and go swimming in the Dead Sea, in that nasty, putrefied water? Well, they say it's therapeutic. I don't know, but they do go float around in it, and I've got the pictures. You can Google it and find the pictures if you want to. People just land there. I mean, they won't even halfway sink. It's like they have an inflated life raft on their body. You will not sink. I guess that means you can't drown. I guess, isn't that what it means? If you can't sink, you can't drown, right? Well, you can't unless you turned over, amen, on your stomach. You turn over on your stomach and you inhale into your lungs a little bit of that nasty, putrefying, salty, super salty, stinking Dead Sea water, I guess you could drown in the Dead Sea. Because accidentally swallowing some Dead Sea water would mean instant death to you. Not necessarily by drowning. It would swell your larynx up and would cut your oxygen supply completely off because of the amount of salt that exists in that water. You'd suffocate to death instead of necessarily drowning if you got just a little bit of that water down your throat. Now, I don't know about you, but I got choked on some hot coffee the other day, and my larynx swelled up pretty good when I got choked on coffee. It took me a few minutes to get over it. If you go in the Dead Sea, it's going to take you more than a few minutes to get over it. I don't think you would get over it. Not only that, it would burn your eyes. I mean, it would just put your eyes out. It's that salty, this Dead Sea. So besides the two microbes that live in it and the algae that live in it, there's absolutely nothing in the Dead Sea that's alive. It's dead. It's as dead can be. Now, what's all that got to do with what we're talking about this morning? That's probably what's going through your mind right now. Look at verses 8 through 12 again. We'll just read a couple here. Let's look at 8 and 9. 8 and 9 says, "Then said he to me," who's he? The tour guide, right? I think it's Jesus. "These waters issue out toward the east country, go down into the desert, go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed." That's really far enough to go right now. It says that the waters that are going to issue out of the eastern gate off of the Temple Mount down into the valley that run into the Jordan River and then into the Dead Sea, the waters will be healed. It's not going to be dead anymore, folks. They're going to be healed up. Amen? Look at 9. "And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moves wherever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live wherever the river comes." Now, wow, friends, that's a wow thing right there to me. Why is it such a wow thing? Because I know exactly right now what the condition is in the Dead Sea. It's dead. One day it's going to be healed by the waters that come from the beautiful river of life. And fish are going to live in it. Amen? So it's a wild thing. Someday this beautiful river of life will dump its waters right into the Dead Sea, and fish camps are going to spring up all around the Dead Sea. Life will abound in the valley from Jerusalem all the way through the area of the Dead Sea. And friends, I'd say that right at this very moment, according to the Scriptures, at this moment, the Dead Sea is groaning for its redemption. Well, why do you say that? Because in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, it says that the creation groans for redemption. We went off over that last week. It groans for redemption because when man fell, the earth was cursed. And the earth is groaning to be redeemed and to be renewed and to be refreshed and to be brought back into the state of the Garden of Eden. So at this moment, it is groaning to be that regenerated, that redeemed ecosystem that it's going to be someday. Y'all still with me? In verse 10, it says, "And it shall come to pass that fishers shall stand upon it, from En Gedi even unto En Eglim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many." Anybody know what the great sea is? How about the Sea of Galilee? How about the Sea of Galilee? Come on now. That's the great sea. Now, the Mediterranean's over there, and part of the water's going to go in it, too, and I'd say it'd get healed up just like the Dead Sea, but it's the Great Sea is the Sea of Galilee. What kind of fish are in the Sea of Galilee? Freshwater fish. Amen? It'd be freshwater tilapia, bluegill, crappie, walleye. I don't know if they're in there or not, but it's freshwater fish. And the Bible says that the Dead Sea is going to be like that great sea and have exceedingly many fish, freshwater fish. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if there is such a thing in the millennial. The Bassmaster Classic may have one of its fishing tournaments right there on the Dead Sea. Now, don't think that that's a heretic thing to say, because the Bible says there's going to be people casting nets, fishing in the Dead Sea. There's going to be plenty of fish in there, and people are going to be catching those fish. This thousand-year reign of Christ is going to be some awesome place. And we're getting a look at it in Ezekiel 47. Let's go on a little bit further. Also, there's an abundance of life along the course of the river. Wherever that river flows, there is life. It's going to be supplying fresh food, fresh water for human beings, but also for all the creatures that will be living there. And I said all the creatures that will be living there. Get your Bibles and look at Isaiah chapter 35. I know that's not on the list today, but look at Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 1. And here's what it says. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now, from pictures that I've seen and from reports that I've heard of people that have been in that area and toured the Holy Land from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea, it's a barren land. Mark Twain went over there and he said there's not really much to write about. It's just kind of a rocky, barren, dry place. But Isaiah says that in the day in which Jesus is on this planet in his kingdom, that place is going to get glad. Hallelujah. Why is it going to be glad? Because it's been groaning, amen, for millennium of years. It's been groaning for redemption. Jesus is in the land. The people are in the land. The land will be glad. The desert will rejoice and will blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Nobody's going to have weak hands and feeble knees. We're all going to be brand spanking new. Amen. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap, and a hart or a deer, and the tongue like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Hallelujah. The unclean shall not pass over it. Well, no, they won't pass over it because they won't be there to pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men shall not err therein, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Well, I don't know about you, but I want a piece of that. I want a piece of that. We should be yearning for that today, church. It's going to be a wonderful thing when we get to that great place called the kingdom of Almighty God. Animals will be there. Birds will be there. Turtles will be there. Some insects will be there. I'm convinced that there will be honeybees. No stingers. You won't have to carry your EpiPen with you. Not going to get stung in the millennial kingdom of God. The scripture says there won't be lions, but if there were lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, they'd just be your big old pet. because they're going to be tamed. And it's going to be an awesome day when that happens. Now go back to Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12. Upon the river bank thereof, on the side, on this side and that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters issued out of the sanctuary. There it is, the beautiful river of life, coming out of the temple mound, out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof in these trees that are growing on either side of the river of life, the fruit shall be for meat and the leaf thereof for medicine. The fruit will never run out. It's going to be renewed on a monthly basis. It'll always be there. It's going to be harvested every month. New harvest comes in because the foliage will never wither nor die. You know, last week I talked about in the millennial kingdom, there won't be a bunch of dead fall trees laying down, rotting and deteriorating into dust. They're going to be alive. It's going to be renewed. The groaning has been answered by Almighty God. And now nature, the creation, will shout with joy. And these trees will be there to heal people and to preserve life. It'll be a life giving fruit, which is another picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all I can say is, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day when all of these things happen, when Jesus comes, sets up his kingdom, washes all the ugliness and all the dryness, all the barrenness, all the deadness away. That's going to be a happy day. Amen? And he's going to replace it with something brand new. I said he's going to replace it with something brand new. Amen. The only thing that we could take as a negative from all the scripture that we've read today in this last message is verse 11. Verse 11 says, the miry places thereof, the marshes thereof, shall not be healed, because it's going to be left there for salt. Boy, I thought about that one a long time, that verse. And you know what I came up with? You see, I believe in the millennial kingdom of God, a shake or two of salt on your supper is not going to be a bad thing. It won't run your blood pressure up to use a little salt on what you eat in the kingdom. If you're going to be fishing in the kingdom and we're going to have fish fry in the kingdom, a little sprinkle of salt might be a good thing on that fish. And you won't have to worry about it drying you out and dehydrating you and hurting your heart and your blood pressure, friend. It'll be all right, okay? It's going to be given for salt. In the kingdom, there'll be a little bit of salt there. And I'll admit to you, there may be other reasons that salt is going to be there, but that's the only reason I can give you this morning. So what are we going to glean from all this that we've learned about this beautiful river of life for the last 3 weeks and today? Maybe you're thinking, all this sounds really good, PT. It really does. In fact, it sounds too good to be true. That may be what you're thinking right now. Just rest assured, it is true. Because this book is true. Everything in God's Word is infallible. It's the truth. And you can rely on it. Secondly, it could be 1,000 years. I don't know how long it's going to be. It could be 2,000 years, but in the broad spectrum of things, 1,000 or 2,000 years to God is no big deal, because that's just like a day or two to Almighty God. Well, friends, listen to me. Just as sure as it could be a long time, and I'll admit it, it could be. Could be. But I believe it's not going to be that long. I believe it could be sooner than later. I believe we're sitting on the threshold of something awesome happening in this world. And the reason that I do is not an opinion that I formed for myself. It's from what I find in the scriptures. Because the signs of the times are everywhere. The song says there's a brand new feeling in the air, and it says to keep your eye upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head, because our redemption is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. Amen. But the thing that really matters is this. Are you ready? Are you ready to enter the kingdom of Jesus Christ? If it came sooner than later, if it came in your lifetime, would you be ready to enter in the kingdom and to be with God? Are you ready for the kingdom today? Are you a child of Almighty God? Well, why does that matter? Because if you aren't, you will never see what we've described for the last 4 weeks. Today's the fourth week. If you aren't ready, you won't see it. God wants you to see it. Amen? Amen. It is not God's will that any man should perish, but all would come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And so He wants you to be His heir. He wants you to be an heir of Christ. A joint heir in all the things that He has prepared for us. Do you remember? We said that He's got a whole lot of things prepared for us. We can't even imagine what's prepared for us. In order to see the kingdom, in order to be a part of the kingdom that Ezekiel so wonderfully has shown us over the last 3 or 4 weeks, then you got to be right with God. Not because I say so, but because God's Word says so. And that entails something called the new birth. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 3, ye must be born again. What Ezekiel has so vividly described in chapter 47, actually in 40 through 48, if you want to get real technical, from 40 to 48 in the book of Ezekiel, what he's described so greatly is what will exist in the kingdom of Almighty God that Christ will establish when He comes back to this earth someday. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, you won't see any of this. Do you think that Christ may have had Ezekiel's prophecy in mind when he said this from John 7:37, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Amen. My friend, if the beautiful river of life can transform the Dead Sea into a garden like the Garden of Eden, then Jesus Christ can transform you into a new creation, a new creature that will go from being cold and hard and desolate into someone that's warm and caring with a soft heart, a loving child of the living God. The life-giving water that Christ offers will flood your soul, will flood your heart and give you joy and peace and love and an understanding of Almighty God that you've never had before, because God hath prepared for you to love Him and to be with Him. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Jesus Christ, my friends, is the one you need today. In order to see the kingdom, in order to be a part of what lies ahead, you need Jesus. There's only two people that know if you have Him or not. That's you and Him. He's inviting you to receive Him today. He's inviting you to come and seek and call upon His name. And the Bible says, as sure as you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, He will in no wise turn you away. Hallelujah. That's that grace and that mercy that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come and drink. Drink of the fountain of this water. Drink of the beautiful river of life that he makes available through his love and through his finished work on the cross. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we pray just now that the Holy Spirit is moving in hearts and minds of people all throughout this congregation today. Lord, thank you for this wonderful series. Thank you for the great description that Ezekiel gives us from chapter 40 through 48 of the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the truth and the power of your word. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the fact that Jesus said he wouldn't leave us alone, but that he would send the Comforter to be with us. And when the Comforter came unto us and the church was established, he said even greater works would we do than he had done. Lord, we just pray right now, if anyone here in this auditorium today doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we pray that this time, as you call them, they won't resist, that they'll come and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.